So, we are presently in a teaching series, and the title of this series is, Lord, I love you, but there's people that I can't stand. I said to you that I have four objectives in this series. Number one, I want us to discover people principles from God's word. Number two, I want us to develop divine people skills. Number three, I want us to learn how to glorify God in our relationships. And then number four, we want to preserve the potency of our faith. Now, we've been dealing, in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about divine people skills. Last week, we talked about sensitivity. I have another divine people skill that I want to introduce tonight. Well, not necessarily introduce, because I've dealt with this in the past. I thought that it was necessary to put this lesson in this series. But I want to talk about lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Now, before I really get a scripture, I want to make some introductory remarks. Lowliness of mind is a very little known skill because you don't hear a whole lot about it. But I will tell you that this is essential for relationships. And I'm talking about relationships of any kind. Lowliness of mind is the key component to the management of conflict. And it's the key component to the maintenance of unity. Now, let me make this statement. In all relationships, and I want you to really hear me so you don't feel like you're all alone. In all relationships, conflict is inevitable. In all relationships, conflict is inevitable. Even in church relationships. And I had to bring it out because, you know, what happens with us is we come to church with this false notion that, you know, now that I'm in church, everybody's going to treat me right and everything's going to be wonderful. And what happens is we get thrown off because that's really not the case. Now, let me make another statement. It is not conflict that destroys relationships. It is the inability on the part of those who are involved in relationships to successfully resolve disagreements and navigate through conflict issues. Can I say that again? It is not conflict that destroys relationships. It is the inability on the part of those who are involved in relationships to successfully resolve disagreements and navigate through conflict issues. I will tell you that the gauge of maturity is how well you handle disagreements. You see, maturity is not being able to handle things when everything is going well, but maturity is manifested when we have conflict situations. So we've got to learn how to handle disagreements without falling out. Boy, did you hear that? We've got to learn how to handle disagreements without falling out. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Man, it's warm in here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Listen to what it says. And Paul is speaking. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Look at this in the Amplified Bible. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which ye have been called, with behavior that is credit to the summons of God's service, living as becomes you, with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing one another and making allowances because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you receive. There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, Pastor, what is lowliness of mind? Let me give you some definitions. It means humbleness of mind. It means humility. It means, listen to this, dying to self-interest. It means humbleness of mind. It means humility. And it means dying to self-interest. Lowliness of mind is the opposite of pride and selfishness. It's the opposite of pride and self. Go to Philippians chapter 2 for me. I'm going to try not to keep you too long. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Actually, let's go to verses 3 through 5. Listen to what it says here. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Strife in this text means selfishness. He says, don't do anything out of selfishness. Can I help you tonight? And then vainglory means pride. And let me tell you something. These two things here, these are the two enemies of any successful relationship. Selfishness and pride. Selfishness. You show me any relationship that's been destroyed, and I will show you some selfishness and pride. Oh, no, Pastor, it wasn't that. It was because he cheated. He cheated because he was selfish. Oh, no, Pastor, it wasn't that. It was because of this. It all boils down to selfishness and pride. Get rid of selfishness and pride, and any relationship can work. Go to, look at verses 3 and 4 again in Philippians two here. Look, listen what it says. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own but every man also on the things of others. We have to die to self. As a matter of fact, the biggest challenge for us is to die to self. That's the biggest challenge that we have in life, is dying to self and selfish ambition. Can you imagine what would happen if the husband would stop thinking about himself and start thinking about the wife? And then if the wife would stop thinking about herself and start thinking about the husband? And the parents would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the children? And the children would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the parents? The employer would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the employees? And the employees would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the employer? The leaders would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the followers? And the followers would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the leaders? Do you imagine what would happen if this were true? But this can't happen if we are full of pride and selfishness. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody here tonight. Look at verses 5 and 6 right here in Philippians 2. I want to read this in the Amplified Bible. Verses 5 and 6. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Talking about Jesus, the Son of the living God, who are, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Do you see that? Jesus was and is God. He has the right to be worshiped. He has the right to be served. He has the right to be loved. But he didn't think this equality with God was the most important thing. Look at verses 7 and 8. but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, and that he became like men and was born a human being. Lord have mercy. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. I got to read this in the Message Bible, verses 5-8 in the Message Bible. Listen to this. Think for yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but did not think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages that status of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless and obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Verse 7 says, he took upon himself the form of a servant. You see, servants they are more concerned about what's best for others than themselves. And then verse 8 talks about how he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen to this. That's the death of self and selfish ambition. Now, most of us, let's just be honest, most of us are selfish by nature. We're not thinking about what's best for others. We're thinking about what's best for us. It's not about what others feel. It's all about my feelings. It's all about my needs. It's all about my desires. It's all about my agenda. Now, let me tell you this. When you become mature, even when you are right, even when you are right in conflict, sometimes you just got to be the peacemaker. You got to put your feelings aside. You got to put your need to be right aside all the time and do what's necessary for peace. Let me show you a great illustration of a man who walked in lowliness of mind. Great illustration. We talked about him before. Go to Genesis 13. Thank you, Jesus. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to read verse number 2, and then we're going to skip down the verses 5-7. You there? You ought to be in Genesis, first book of the Bible. All right, look. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He was very rich. Verses 5-7. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them. That they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. Now, I read this 7th verse some time ago. I'm going to be honest with you. I did not understand something. I read the verse, and there's a conflict between Abram, his herdsman, and Lot's herdsman. And then out of the clear blue, the 7th verse says that the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwell there in the land. And my question was, what do they have to do with this? What do the Canaanites and the Perizzites have to do with what's going on in this situation? And then the revelation came to me. And let me tell you something. This is a problem in Christianity today. We only get caught up in the conflict issue, but I think sometimes what we do is we forget that others are watching us and are being affected by what we do. Did you hear what I just said? We get caught up in our own little conflict, but we forget that there are others watching us and they are affected by what we do. And a lot of times what we do is we lose our witness. We lose our testimony. Because after all, the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all the other ites, they don't know God, but they're watching us And they're watching how we relate to one another. Because Jesus says, this is how they're going to know that you are my disciples, because you have love for one another. The way we relate to each other, and you really need to get this, the way we relate to each other will either win the sinner or run them away. Oh, I want to help you tonight. The way we relate to each other will either win the sinner or run them away. But we're so busy disagreeing with one another, we don't see the Canaanites and the Perizzites and all the other ites. We're on social media fighting one another, and the world's watching, and we're losing our witness. We're talking about each other. We're slandering each other, and the world's watching. And you know what the world's saying? They're no better than me. They're no better than me. Look, I told this story some time ago. A few years ago, I had another dog. His name was Reuben. And when he was younger, I would tell Marilyn, you know, when you take him out to do his business, always put him on a leash. And one morning, she brought him out, and I was inside the house, and I could hear her calling him, Reuben! Reuben! So I opened the front door, and Reuben's running in the neighbor's yard, and she's running behind him. And I'm looking at her, and here's the truth. I was furious. I got so mad, and I raised my voice at her. I said, I told you don't take this dog out without putting him on a leash. You know what? She looked back at me and started screaming. She screamed back at me, don't you come to... And I wasn't ready for that. I'm going to be honest with you. So we're screaming at each other in the neighborhood. You know what? And all of a sudden it came to me. I said, you know what? The Canaanites and the Perizzites are watching. The Laplacites, they're looking. So I kind of just eased back in the door. And I'll be honest, confession's good for the soul. I mumbled to myself, I hope he runs out all around the neighborhood. Run out, Reuben, run out! But you know what could have happened? We could have lost our witness. And you know when you lose your witness, and you know when folk get a story, they're going to add a little something to it. Oh, my God. They was fussing and fighting, and she was swinging on him, and man, she could fight. It would have been a whole big story. But I think a lot of times we don't remember that the world is watching us. And a lot of times we're losing our witness. Look at the 8th verse. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Thank God somebody has some sense here. He says, we're family. And there's a bigger picture than just who wins this thing. So Abraham takes the lead and he begins to resolve the conflict. Wise man. Wise man, he takes the lead. Say, I'm not fighting with you. Let there be no strife between us. Look at verses 9 through 11. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou cometh unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves one from the other. Let me just paint the picture for you. First of all, Lot is really just a tag along. He really shouldn't even be here. Everything that Lot has is because of Abraham. Abraham had the right to the land, but he tells Lot, you decide what you want. And Lot takes what appears to be the best of the land. And when you read the rest of the story, When you read it all out, Lot lost and Abraham won. You see, when you are, please get this. This is a revelation for somebody. When you are secure in God and know that God is your source, even when folk think they're getting over on you, they'll just hurt themselves. Oh, can't you hear what I just said? When you are secure in God, thank you, Jesus. And when you know that God is your source, even when people think they're getting over on you, they end up hurting themselves. See, listen to me. You don't have to fight people. No, not when you trust in God. You don't have to fight people. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Amplified Bible says, blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward condition, are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. I'll keep the peace and enjoy God's favor. If you hold your peace, I'm here to tell you that the Lord will fight for you. So we need to perfect this divine people skill of lowliness of mind. Now, in order for you to really perfect this, you're going to have to trust God. I'm telling you now, you're going to have to stop worrying about fighting for yourself. And you're going to have to really and truly trust God. I don't have time to be fighting people. I am going to perfect this divine people skill of lowliness of mind and watch God fight for me. Let's pray. God, we thank you tonight for your word. Again, we're not just hearers, but we are doers of your word. I thank you for all that's watching tonight. Thank you for your word that convicts us. God, some of us have been guilty of trying to fight our own battles. Some of us have been guilty of trying to do things our own way. Tonight, we surrender. We give ourselves over to you. God, we say that you're Lord over our relationships. We want to do things the way you have commanded us to do them. Help us to love more like you. Help us to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Help us tonight. I thank you right now, God. Thank you for peace. And thank you for peacemakers in the name of Jesus. Now I pray for every person that's watching. I claim everybody for your kingdom. I pray for those that have been at a distance from you. I thank you for them coming back to you tonight. I thank you, God, for those that you've spoken to and you said to them that this is their set place. This is a place that they're to be planted. They're going to grow and be fruitful. I pray that they will be obedient to your will for their lives. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank God. Oh, thank God for his word on tonight. Glory to God. We want to be more like Jesus. Let me extend an invitation to you. If you're watching, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The Bible says that if you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, you can be saved, and you can be saved tonight. So tonight, if you want to give Jesus, you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, you want to give the Lord your life tonight, I want you to repeat this simple prayer with me tonight. Will you just do this? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. I ask you for forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he was buried, and I believe that he rose from the dead. And right now, I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and come into my life. I trust you, and I will follow you as my Lord and my Savior. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, there's some information on the screen right there. I want you to follow those directions, and I'm going to have a minister to reach out to you and give you all the information that you need and pray with you. But I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God tonight. Or if you're watching, you're saying, well, Pastor, at some point I gave my life to the Lord, but I am not where I should be as it relates to my walk with God. I need to recommit my life to the Lord. If that is you, this invitation is for you tonight. You can follow those same directions and we'll have somebody to reach out to you. And then you may be watching. You say, Pastor, I believe that the Lord is leading me to be a part of the Destiny Christian Center family. And if that's God's will for your life, I encourage you to be obedient to God's will. And you can follow those same directions and we'll have somebody to reach out to you. Let's thank God again for the word tonight. Come on, let's give him some praise and glory and honor for his word on tonight. We want to be more like Jesus. All right, let's prepare to worship and give it. We are giving. We are in ministry that believes the word of God. We practice God's word and we are blessed because of our obedience to the word of God. I want to encourage you tonight. Be a true committed tither and a giver. The word of God says, bring me all the tithe and offering into the storehouse. God says, prove me. See, will I not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it? He says, I will curse the devourer for your sake. Look, I know that God will honor his word, but we've got to be obedient. We've got to be faithful in our obedience. And we're believing God to have 100% participation in tithing and in offering in this ministry. So I encourage you tonight to be a true committed tither and a giver. That offering that you give is a seed that you sow. I'm going to tell you what I know. The harvest is always greater than the seed. So let's give tonight. We're also sowing towards the vision. We have a vision for a debt-free Destiny Dome that will seat over 3,000 people and be filled with over 3,000 people. I encourage you tonight to sow towards the vision. There's information on the screen right there where you can text or give, or you can give online. I'll give you some time to get that together. Let's be cheerful givers tonight. Let's do that. Let's be cheerful in our giving. Can we make our faith confession? I'm a true tither and giver, and I am blessed because of it. The windows of heaven are open for me, and the blessings of God are poured out upon my life. Confess this. I have huge money right now. It's pressed down, it's shaken together, and it's running over. I'm blessed. Say that. I'm blessed, and I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing to the kingdom, and I'm a blessing to people. Confess this. I am out of debt. All of my needs are met with a surplus. Can we confess over the dome? Debt-free Destiny Dome, seating over 3,000 people, filled with over 3,000 people. Somebody by faith shout, it's up! Hallelujah to God. Thank God for his word tonight. Thank God for your participation tonight. I love you so much. Don't forget to be right back here Sunday morning for our Sunday morning worship service. You know what I want you to do? I want you to invite everybody that's watching. I want you to invite somebody to join with you Sunday morning in our virtual Sunday morning worship service at 8 a.m. I'll see you then. I love you so much. Y'all have a wonderful night. We'll talk soon. God bless.